Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Jayam Vishnupad Param Sarujaga Acharya Stotra Jata Shri Srimad Srila Bhaitranada Bhakti Viranta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Thakura Haridasa Ki Jai. Prem Se Koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamkunda Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Ki Jai. Yamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Rani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Harinama Sankirtana Ki Jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Iskan DVT Samsthapaka Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gau Premanandi. All glory Sri Samudavotis. All glory Sri Samudavotis. All glory Sri Samudavotis. All glory to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, Jaya Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः. This is Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12. Text is 31 and 32. We've got 32 written. Okay, so did he read 31 yesterday? Or? Okay, sorry. All right, so. Tasya अनुधावतः रेतः चस्कन्द अमोघरेतसः शुष्मिनः युथपस्य इव वासिताम् अनुधावतः. तस्यानुधावतो रेतः चस्तन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपस्येव वासितामनुधावतः. तस्यानुधावतो रेतः चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपस्येव वासितामनुधावतः. तस्यानुधावतो रेतः चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपस्येव वासितामनुधावतः. तस्यानुधावतो रेतः चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपास्येव सितामनुधावतः. तस्यानुधावतो रेतः चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपस्येव वासितामनुधावितः. Anyone else? तस्यानुधावतो रेतः चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपस्येव वासितामनुधावतः. Ladies. तस्यानुधावतो रेतस् चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपस्येव वासितामनुधावताः. तस्यानुधावतो रेतः चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः शुष्मिनो यूथपस्येव वासितामनुधावतः. तस्यानुमोदितो रेतः चस्कन्दामोघरेतसः स्मिनो ऋतपस्येव वासितामनुधावतः तस्य of him, Lord Shiva, anudhavatah, who was following, retah, the seaman, chaskanda, discharged, amokharetasah, of that person whose discharge of seaman never goes in vain. Shushminah, mad, yutapasya, of a male elephant, iva, just like, vasitam, to a female elephant, able to conceive pregnancy, anudhavataha, following, translation. Just as a maddened bull elephant follows a female elephant who is able to conceive pregnancy, Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman and discharged semen, even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain. There is no purport here. We'll move on to the next verse. Yatra yatrapa tanmahyam retastasya mahatmanah tani rupasya hemnascha kshetranyasan mahipate. O king, wheresoever on the surface of the globe fell the semen of the great personality of Lord Shiva, mines of gold and silver later appeared. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that those who seek gold and silver can worship Lord Shiva for material opulences. Lord Shiva lives under a bal tree and does not even construct a house in which to dwell. But although he is apparently poverty-stricken, his devotees are sometimes opulently endowed with large quantities of silver and gold. Parikshit Maharaj later asks about this, and Shukdev Goswami replies, Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Just as a maddened bull elephant sometimes follows a female elephant who is able to conceive pregnancy, Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman and discharged semen, even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain. O King, wheresoever on the surface of the globe fell the semen of the great personality of Lord Shiva, mines of gold and silver later appeared. Sridhar Swami does not comment on this verse. Viraragavacharya and all the other acharyas following him, they mainly just point out the meanings of the words. Here, Shushmina means those who are powerful. But according to Viraragavacharya, it means those who are mad. Mattasya. Shushminaha means mattasya, mad, frenzied. And what? Who's frenzied? Yuthapasya, the elephant. Why is he frenzied? Vashitam pushpavatim gajim anudhavata iva. It's as if Lord Shiva became a maddened elephant chasing after a female elephant who is in full bloom. Pushpavatim means vashitam, in her season. Every one of us has a season. Did you know that? We have seasons that we go through. All living entities, everything in this world. And therefore, Jiva Goswami calls it ritumatim karanim. He's glossing the same word. Ritu also means season. So in due course of time, a woman at a certain period in the month is able to conceive children. At other times, she's shedding toxins from the body. That's why it's prohibited to approach a woman at that time, because it will be injurious to one's health. And similarly, there's a certain time in which it's feasible to conceive children. At that time, one is enjoined to approach one's lawfully married wife, first of all, because nowadays we're all socialized in such a way that it just doesn't even matter. In fact, I mean, nothing matters anymore. But this is called mattasya yutapasya, like a maddened elephant. In human society, we have different shastras, and human beings are expected to live in terms of the injunctions of these shastras, depending on the interest of the human being, because everyone has to be accommodated. That's the nature of the father. Aham bija pradapita, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. And father has to accommodate all the children, even if the children are not up to his expectations. So similarly, in human society, we find different kinds of shastras. The most productive kind of shastra is called the Dharma Shastra. That is, shastras for those who are interested in achieving shreyas, the thing which is in human life the most super excellent thing that you can attain. Dharma Shastras encourage one not only to become a civilized and progressive religious human being, responsible in all ways, and in tune with the laws of nature rather than fighting them. But it also encourages one to do that such that one rises to the platform of Atma-gyan, self-realization. Because unless there's self-realization, there can be no question of God-realization. So that's called Jnana-adhikar. The acharyas commenting on the beginning five or so chapters of Bhagavad Gita make it very clear that the purpose of karma, or karma, another word for karma is dharma, the purpose of it is to elevate one to the platform of self-realization. And self-realization is significant because only on that platform can one actually adopt real devotional service. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta prasannatmana shochiti na kankshiti samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Param bhakti means transcendental devotional service, or the topmost devotional service. We can practice probate bhakti until we become liberated, and in fact we do, under the guidance of a spiritual master and by his grace, because without the sponsorship of a pure devotee, Krishna has no obligation to recognize us or to take our devotion seriously, because it's not really devotion most of the time. It's mixed, as Krishna says in chapter 7. He tells us, four kinds of motivated people approach me, and I accept that service when they adopt the proper means of approach. Otherwise, you know, the Shastras are accommodating everyone, and so even the Dharma Shastras and the Puranas and other corroborating literatures, they encourage someone who wants to worship Lord Shiva. As Prabhupada says here, Lord Shiva is giving everyone gold and silver. So they accommodate that. So for the persons who are not so much interested in Dharma yet, then we have another class of Shastras, and those are called, who can guess? What comes after Dharma? Artha Shastra. These are for the people who are more clever. The people who are more calculating and manipulative, especially for the kings, because a king actually has to do these things. A king is expected to organize and manage and inspire and sometimes even fight. So a king has to be very, sometimes, tricky. This famous Dharma Shastra, probably the most famous of the Artha Shastras, is called the Chanaka Kautilya. He was in the Maurya court, I think, long, long time ago. And he compiled his Niti Shastra, Shastra for Political Intelligence. So that's especially prominent in the Kshatriyas, as we said. But everybody has to be political on occasion, isn't it? Because you have to work within a world of people who do not necessarily see things the same way, or who do not wish to cooperate with your every wish. Only Krishna has the luxury of being able to claim that, what is that, as the Upanishad mantra says, Satyakama, what is that? I forget, but he's called Aptakama, because Satyakama, Satyasankalpa, whatever he sets his mind upon, it's instant fact. Instant fact. We don't have this. We have to fight sometimes, so politics is there. And then those who are not even up to that level of broad-mindedness, what are they concerned with? What? Dharma, artha, and then kama. So here we're talking about kama. And the Kama Shastra is also very explicit and very clear about how to enjoy in the material world. Now, what is the primary attraction of this material world? The opposite sex, generally. Sex in general. And this is what's being illustrated here. Now, it's interesting, the Acharyas commenting on these verses, they point out that the word is being repeatedly used in each verse, iva, 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 as if. The word iva means like. So what is Lord Shiva being compared to? What is he's acting as if he were a maddened bull elephant chasing after a female elephant who is very interested. Jiva Goswami is using, who's using this? Vijayadwaj Tirtha, he says, Shushmino Virivataha. So, Virraghavacharya and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're defining Shushmina, the powerful one, as a person who's maddened. He's frenzied with sex desire because he sees that the woman is interested. This is what drives one mad. But Vijayadwaj Tirtha takes it in a slightly different sense. He takes it as Virivat. What does Virya mean? He's potent. He's capable. He has what it takes. Sometimes they call, even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna calls Arjuna Purusha Vyagra, isn't it? Vyagra. What does Vyagra mean? Anybody know? It's a not so common word. It means actually a tiger. Tiger. So nowadays they're also interested in Viagra. That's another thing, perhaps. But here, Shushmino Virivata Vashitam Maithune Chavatim Karinim. He's interested in He's mad because he's potent, and the woman, or the female elephant, is also in her season. She's capable of conceiving, and therefore, maitune chavati. She is possessed of the desire to join. Maitana. And so the several words are used here for the elephant, actually. Here, one is yuthapa. Yuthapa means like the leader of his pack, so to speak. A bull elephant means the elephant who's so big and powerful and dominant that everyone else is afraid of him, and he can do pretty much anything that he wants. We sometimes call this the alpha male. So this is what he's compared to, this kind of elephant. And I already mentioned Pushpavatim, Pushpavatim Gajim, a female elephant in full bloom. That means she has come to that period. So, Vashitam, that's called Vashita. And she's desirous, and Yutapasya Karindra. Jiva Goswami says that Yutapa means a Karindra. This is another interesting word for elephant. Kari. Kari means a handed one. Person who has a hand. Where is an elephant's hand? In his trunk. He's sometimes called Padapa for the same reason. Padapa means he drinks through his feet. He's got a fifth foot. It comes out of his face. Because he can use it for any purpose. Elephants, they can use the trunk for the foot. They can use it as a hand. They can use it to drink with. It's a straw also. So Sanskrit is very fun in these ways. But, and he's approached the Ritumatim Karinim, the female of the same type. Ritumatim, she's in her season, as we explained before. So Shushmino Mattasya Yutapasya Hastindrasya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur glosses the word even a third way. Hasti, Indra. The Indra among Hastis. Or you can take it in another way, as the elephant of Indra. Either way, it's the chief elephant that there is. Hasti also means he's got a hand. It's the same idea. So, alright, so, Reta Soa Mohatvam Svarnat Vena Parinamat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. His Prabhupada has also given us this information in his purport. So let's back up for a minute here and look at the word amokha-retas. Reta means, who remembers, semen. And amokha means amokha. Mokha means ruined. Huh? Yeah. In Bhagavad Gita we also find this. Mokha-jnana-vichetasaha. Mokha means destroyed, wasted, squandered, ruined. So a man should not squander or waste his semen. It should not go in vain. This is the Ayurvedic principle and also the Dharmashastric principle. This is the idea. Even for health, this is the thing. Because for a man, it is his potency. And, I mean, how else to say this except that a human body is created of this substance, so powerful it is. Therefore, it's also called virya, as we had the word here. Viryavat, person who possesses this capacity or this potency. Semen means potency, so it should not be wasted. And therefore, the word amokaretas is used to describe several heroic means self-controlled persons, and Lord Shiva is certainly one of them. But now he's looking like an elephant who's, well, he's literally, he's lost it. So, this is the problem. Kama Shastra divides us into different kinds of physically, divides human beings into different kinds of categories. Women are divided into four categories. Men are divided into four categories. Some of them are considered to be elephants. Some of them are considered to be bulls. Some of them are considered to be hares. Right, the women, one of them is a shankha, a conch lady, another one is a kind of like an elephant lady, and different kinds of, all these, Kama Shastra divides us into these different categories. But what are they? They're all animals. They're animals. So this is the point. As if an animal, Lord Shiva, he has just spoken such exceedingly profound prayers, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a few minutes later, look at the mess. So this is something we can take note of. And in fact, we're meant to take note of this. In the following verses, we'll see that the reason that Lord Vishnu, in the form of this Mohini Rupa, has led Lord Shiva all through the forest, it's described he's taking Lord Shiva from one ashram to another to show these munis who live there what is the danger. Even Lord Shiva, this is the idea. So, my god sister told me a story one day. She was with Srila Prabhupada. This story did not yet make it into the Lilamrita or any other biography, so you can listen. At that time, she and her husband were in charge of one temple, and there was some fight in the temple, as I said. Politics goes on everywhere. So some devotees were on one side, other devotees were on other side. She and her husband felt responsible for all the devotees, so what to do? How to resolve the issue? So she went to Prabhupada, she and her husband, and they told Prabhupada about the situation. And Prabhupada looked at them for a moment, and he became pensive. And then he said, "The cat is chasing after the mouse. The dog is chasing after the cat. The tiger is chasing after the dog." In this way, the elephant can even kill a tiger sometimes. "But as far as we're concerned," Prabhupada said, "they're all animals." This was his instruction, that human beings are actually meant to come up to something higher than this. And that begins when one regulates one's physical and mental activities on the basis of what the Shastra says. And by extension, if your physical and mental activities are all regulated by the Shastra, then your social activities, your political activities, right? They will also be regulated according to Shastra. And that's better than performing the same activities without reference to Shastra. Because Shastra Yonitvat, according to Vyasadeva, everything comes from Shastra. There's nothing that's actually omitted in Shastra, and so there's no need to omit the Shastras relevant to whatever field of activity we're working in at any given moment. So, Lord Shiva here, one of the commentaries I recall, he's mentioned that the word vairina, Lord Shiva is as if overwhelmed by his enemy. I think it's in the previous verse, actually. Kamena vairana iva, again, vinirjita. It's as if he is defeated by the inimical one, by the envious one. Vairin means somebody who's envious, actually. Vairina. Somebody who's envious. And it's as if this lust is so... It's as if this lust is envious, isn't it? As soon as a person gets too self-controlled or too much advanced in spiritual life, sometimes even the devatas who control our senses, they will tweak things in such a way as to mess us up, the 11th canto tells us. The devas themselves sometimes become envious of a person who becomes too powerful, too potent spiritually. And I think it's Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, exactly as a person who may have thousands of cows still doesn't want to lose a single cow, so in the same way, the devatas who subsist on the reciprocation of sacrifice between human beings and devatas, it's actually their sustenance. When men offer sacrifices, the devatas are nourished. Without the sacrifices, they're deprived of their sustenance. Dharma is a symbiotic phenomenon. We are all of us interdependent. You cannot screw up another person and expect that it's not going to come back to you eventually. Or even worse than that it's not going to have universal repercussions. It's like ecology in that way. And therefore, many people have made the comparison between dharma and ecology. So the devatas, they don't like it when a human being checks out of this system and goes too far into gyan. Because when a person becomes deeply absorbed in gyan, at least the impersonalists, then they slack in a little bit on the karma, on the karmic platform. And the devas don't like this. So they send an apsara to distract them. They send one Urvashi or some, there are so many of them that we hear stories about in the Shastra. And even here, Lord Shiva is using this universal phenomenon that kama is the enemy, vairi, to instruct the rest of us, actually. So vairi, the Krishna uses this word, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita. In fact, I would go so far as to guess that here Shukdev Goswami is using this word because Krishna has used the same word. Anybody know the verse I'm thinking of in Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna says, it's as if I'm forced to do something, even I know it's wrong and don't want to do it. Remember this? Chapter 3. Who knows? Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava, iha vairinam. You see, the same word is used. This envious thing, envious entity called lust. Mahashano, it eats everything. It's the supreme eater. Mahashana means everything is consumed. Everything in this world. It means everyone in this world is consumed by lust at one point or another. So therefore, Krishna tells us where this lust is sitting. And he tells us in the different ways in which we're covered, or rather our knowledge is covered by this lust. And he encourages Arjuna that you have to overcome this. Now, the problem is that nobody can overcome this because our senses are controlled. Our senses are controlled by devatas more powerful than us. It's kind of like when someone has you in an arm lock, you can't move. There's nothing you can do. So we're controlled. And therefore Krishna says, you're not going to get out. Nobody gets out. Not only is everyone victimized at one point or another, but nobody can ultimately escape from this. There's only one way to do it, and that is to gain pardon from the governor. We're in the prison of Maya Devi. And as soon as somebody tries to make a prison break, the Devamrita Swami nicely explains, then immediately all the resources of the prison are focused on that one individual in order to make sure that he does not escape. You see? And Maya is absolutely competent for this task. She has so many expert security agents working under her jurisdiction. But, chaiva yasya bhuvanani vibharati durga ichchanu rupam she's working under the direction of Govinda. Therefore, if you get pardon from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then you have a chance. So how do we... The whole bhakti process is actually simply to inspire the Supreme Lord to be kind upon us. My dear Lord, we approach with this attitude. My dear Lord, I've been wandering from one body to another. Sometimes I'm a human, sometimes I'm a bird. Sometimes I'm an insect, sometimes I'm Indra. In the Upanishads, this Vamadeva Rishi, he thought he had this stunning realization one day. He discovered that he was once Manu. Once I was the sun. Once I was the moon. Every one of us can say this. And the point is, what are we going to be? What's your trajectory? We can become an insect after being Indra. Indra, what is that? Indra Gopa or Indra? You can take your choice. But every one of them is also controlled by Govinda, either directly or indirectly. So when we take to the shelter of Bhakti Yoga, which really means Mat Ashraya, the Acharyas explain in Bhagavad Gita, Mat Ashraya in chapter 7 means that you've taken shelter of the person who's taken shelter of Krishna. Therefore we say, Bhakti Vinod Ashraya, every morning we're singing. Sri Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara, Bhakti Vinod Ashraya. He is the shelter of Bhakti Vinod, and Bhakti Vinod is our shelter. Through his representatives, especially Srila Prabhupada. So if we can please the pure devotee, then we have a chance of actually pleasing Krishna, because the principle here is, if you love me, love my dog. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. How are you going to get your goal if you don't get the mercy of the person who is connected? As I said earlier, if you don't get this sponsorship such that somebody can put in a good word for you, it's not very likely. It's like expecting an honorary degree. Not very many people get that. So anyone in any condition, even if you're an elephant, you can also become a devotee of Krishna. How many non-human? I mean, the general principle is that you have to be a human being to become a devotee. You have to become Krishna consciousness. Only human beings can sit here and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. But on occasion, there are some non-humans also. What are some examples? Gajendra is one. Who else? Huh? Jatayu, also in Ramlila. Who's the most famous? Greatest devotee. Hanuman. See? And he's a monkey. We all, those of us who live in Vrindavan, we know very much, what is monkey nature? Monkey means badmash, rascal. So we all have this simian minds as well. We think like monkeys, sometimes we act like monkeys. But we can become devotees. Andara jale graha grihita pado visrishta viklishta samasta bandhu tada gajendro nitaram jagada govinda damodara madhaveti. He was previously a king named Indrajumna Maharaj. He was the king of Tamil Nadu, as a matter of fact, South India. And he was chanting mantras, as South Indians still like to do. And when he died, he took birth as an elephant. I mean, he went to Swargaloka, but he got the form of an elephant in Swargaloka. There's a story about this. Anyway, I won't go there. It's too much of a distraction. But sometimes we take birth in Vrindavan as we like, but we take birth as monkeys. Sometimes we take birth in Swargaloka, but we take birth as elephants. You see? So one has to be very... I mean, the only way to do this, actually, is to take shelter of Krishna. So in Swargaloka, he was attacked one day by a crocodile because, as we've decided already, there's envy everywhere, and therefore there's struggles and fights all the time. So this crocodile wanted to eat the elephant, and the elephant was, and he was a bull elephant also, just like Lord Shiva's acting in this capacity now. So he was pulled in, you know the story, he was pulled deep into the water. They were fighting a long time, but he was not going to win. And therefore he just realized that I'm getting weak because I'm out of my element. And Prabhupada comments on this. I mean, I think this was after Madhudvisha had left his sannyas and also left ISKCON for some time. And Prabhupada was very disturbed by that. And he was encouraging that even you cannot be a sannyasi or a brahmachari, but at least you should be married properly and don't give up the fight. Means do not give up the process of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so he was pulled into the water and he was not properly in his element, so it was hard for him to fight, and he was gradually becoming weaker, and he knew that he wouldn't win. So his only option was to take shelter of Krishna. So with his using his hand, and what is an elephant's hand? He plucked a lotus flower out of the water and he offered it, and he remembered a prayer that he had chanted in his previous life. Therefore, every morning, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, we're chanting these mantras because it's hoped that something will remain in the subtle body. Mm-hmm. So something should remain. And that will do us well, because in his hour of need, Krishna as Paramatma revealed, "You remember, you used to pray to me, Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste." And so he was chanting beautiful prayers by Gajendra in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful, beautiful prayers, and very deep also, very realized prayers. He had this realization, even in the form of an elephant. So we should not be discouraged. Bhakti yoga is so powerful that even an animal or an uncivilized human being, because who's not uncivilized in the modern world? Everyone is uncivilized. But kirata hun antra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumbha yavana krasadayaha ye anye cha papa yadapashrayashraya shudhyanti. Whether they be of, there's a whole list given, of any kind of low birth or uncivilized society that we're coming from, if they take shelter of the devotee of the Lord, because he's so powerful, representing transparently Lord Vishnu, therefore they're purified. Shudhyanti. Tasmai prabhavishnave nama. Therefore we should bow down to this powerful Vishnu in the same way. And that's what Gajendra did. He chanted Govinda Damodara Madhava, these names of Krishna. Okay, so there, as I said, there's not really very much commentary on this verse. We've said a few things that's maybe relevant, hopefully, for someone, and I'll stop here. Unless anybody has any questions or comments, we can discuss. Yes, there should be a microphone coming in a minute.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. You mentioned that sometimes the demigods can trick a person as well. Couldn't Krishna do the same if that person is on some kind of a path, on some kind of a journey? Krishna can also partake that role of guiding or manipulating that person.
Yeah, this is a very good question. Actually, we've already read in the fifth canto, Priyavatra Maharaj, he is an example given here that he was not interested in becoming a householder. And it took some persuasion to push him into doing that. And once he became a householder, his experience was that he became attached to that status, and then it was difficult for him to give it up. Something he did not want to accept, something that is not advisory in many cases. But it was necessary for him to become the king, and therefore his authorities, they very strongly persuaded and virtually they compelled him to get married, and then he became attached. It created a problem for him. Sometimes, if it is our fate, even we're doing the right thing and following good advice, but it still causes suffering because it's just meant to be. That's a karmic thing. But your question is a little different. What about Krishna? The reason that I'm using the example of Maharaj Priyavrata is because Maharaj Priyavrata, Srila Prabhupada describes in that passage that there are three reasons. Actually, he's citing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There are three reasons that a sincere devotee sometimes has to undergo reverses. One of them is that it is the result of offenses. In fact, that's usually what it is. Because we are not completely purified at heart, we still have a tendency towards mundane things, and that causes offense. So that's one reason. Another reason is that, for whatever reason, another reason is karma. And devotees, Jiva Goswami describes in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that devotees up until the stage of nishtha, sometimes their karma is not entirely removed, even after initiation. So that's another consideration. And then the third thing is even more interesting, and it's twofold. The third reason is that either Krishna or his devotees, for some inscrutable reason, may desire that a certain living entity undergo difficulty. And if that's the case, then it has to be. So, that's a little discouraging, perhaps. But the point is that Ashra Shiva Paradatam Pinashtumama Darshanat Manamahatam Korotuva Yathatha Vavidhatu Lampato Mat Prananathastus Evanaparaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in pure devotion, the devotee's attitude is that you can embrace me or you can trample me. You can reveal yourself to me, you can hide from me forever. You can throw a thunderbolt at me. You can shower the drops of mercy upon me. But in either way, I'm going to serve you. Okay?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Bada Balaram?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Just a remark on that, actually, my guru told me about this incident about a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was very sick, and anything that he eats, he vomits out. And the Kaviraj doctor said, no, I know what's wrong with him, so now you give him ghee. But Prabhu, he will just give him ghee. So they gave him ghee, and hold and behold, he threw it up, out. For 7 days, they gave him ghee, and finally, after 7 days, he got well. Mm. And then the devotees were wondering, what happened? He was throwing it up. And Kaviraj said, you know why? Because every time you put the ghee in, something sticks, 10% stays there and nourishes him. Mm. So Gurudev told me, whatever happens in your life, do not give up. Mm-hmm. Stick into it and something will stick. And finally, your life will be successful.
Beautiful.
Jai.
This is also Rupa Goswami's advice. If you think about it, in Upadeshamrita, he gives us those six things. Who knows the verse? Six things that ensure success in pure devotion. You should know this. Utsahan, nishtayat, dhairyat, tatkarnama parvartanat, sangatyagat, satovrittehe. What do they mean? Utsaha, you have to be enthusiastic. And sometimes, even in the face of discouragement, you have to be enthusiastic. Therefore, you have to be nishchaya. You have to be convinced that you're doing the right thing. And thairya, you've got to be steadfast in your faith and your enthusiasm. Because there will be challenges, right? Tat-tat karma pravartanat. You have to follow tat-tat, means each and every one of them. All the rules and regulations. And sangatyagat, you will hardly be able to do that unless you give up bad association. And actually, if you look at all the injunctions in the Shastra, they're mostly meant to give up bad association and take good association. That is the end result of most of the do's and don'ts that we have in the Shastra. It's a question of separating us from degrading association and joining us to elevating association. So we have to give up that association. That means human association, non-human association, and non-sentient associations. All of them. Sangha means all of it goes together. You can't really separate them. So, then what's the last one? Satovrittehe. You have to be clean in your character. Sometimes Prabhupada says that means following the footsteps of the acharyas, and sometimes Prabhupada said that means being non-duplicit, being straightforward, simple. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the prominent characteristic of a Vaishnava. He's very Very straightforward and simple. I mean, there's much more we can say about that, but the point is that we're in this for the long haul, and we have to always just push ahead. I like to quote Winston Churchill, who said that if you're going through hell, keep going. So, Vas Prabhu, you had something to say? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.